Blog Talk Radio.
It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live, and we're here on Friday evening this week because I'm on vacation. Actually, I hit the beach on Monday, got stuff going on, baseball game tomorrow night and Sunday, and kids coming in, so just a lot of stuff going on. So Tim has agreed to come in on Friday night, so we're going to do a little quick 45-minute to an hour show. I think you're really going to like it. We're going to be talking about those players that have gotten off the slow starts, and I could have given you 100 names. I've given you about 15 names, and Tim and I are going to talk about those names and figure out if they're buy low candidates. Are they really this bad? I think you'll really enjoy that segment. We'll talk about news and notes of the week and what's going on there and the amazing Aaron Judge. It's just absolutely amazing in terms of what he is doing. Guys, if you want to get a hold of us, you can do that a bunch of different ways. You can go out on Facebook and get the great Tim McLeod, MCLEOD. You can go out and listen to our join our listener kind of Facebook page. It's called The Bullpen, P361, The Bullpen. And go out. Tim will be there. Alan Servinus and a bunch of other guys are out there talking fantasy baseball all the time. You can get me on Twitter at Rich Wilson P361 or the great Tim McLeod at Timothy LMC. If you so choose, go out to iTunes and go out and rate and review us. Without further ado, let's bring in the great Tim McLeod. Timmy, how are you?
Not too bad, Rich. I'm a little tired today. TGIFT. And, of course, you know what that means, right?
No. What does that mean?
TGIF?
Well, thank God it's Friday, but I'm assuming it means something else in your world.
Well, yeah, since I've been on the meds, I put them on the toes of my shoes to remind me the toes go in first.
Okay, it's funny. Hey, I went to dinner the night with this evening tonight with Lori, and I was telling her about your incredible opening last week, Timmy, where you talked about putting an extra floor on your house, and she was roaring in laughter. And I'm like, Timmy, I rarely listen back to the show. I not only listened to it once, I listened to it twice just to listen to your segment. It was absolutely brilliant. If you did not get a chance to go to listen to last week's show, just listen to the first 10 minutes. You don't have to listen to the rest of it. It is absolutely Timothy McLeod gold.
Yeah, Kathy's still shaking her head about that. I mean, that's what I told her as we were leaving the hospital. And I don't know. We've been together 20 years. And I still have that effect on her, Rich.
I know. Well, we all leave shaking our heads a lot with you, Tim. So we know where Kathy is. So
well, that's a good thing. Yeah, I'm starting to feel better, a little perkier, but I still have my moments. I overdid it a bit on Wednesday. So yesterday, okay, catch this, okay? I slept for 17 hours.
Oh my word! Straight?
Yeah. No, I got up every once in a while.
Tim, you and I are in the same age bracket. Ain't no way you cannot go to the bathroom in 17 hours. Come on. <That's> like...
No, there were a few strolls down to the washroom facilities, yes. But other than that, when I overdo it, I just get tired. And, you know, with all that sleep behind me, I'm right raring ready to go tonight, Rich.
Okay, well, good, Timmy. I'm not going to keep you too long. We're just going to go 45 minutes to an hour. I first kind of want to talk about I was just taking a look at those players that are underperforming. I thought we would just look at the top first round and just see how those players are faring and anybody that jumps out at you. And I'm going to go back to the NFBC top 15, the first round, and I'm just going to read the names off and tell me those guys that jump out at you as like, huh, he doesn't belong, or huh, he's gotten off to a slow start, or wow, this guy is just a stud. So, of course, Michael Trout. And I just want to pause there for a moment. I don't think people realize how good Mike Trout is, because unless you own him, to me, this is a guy that just consistently is the best player in baseball. I mean, you look up and he's got 8, 9 home runs. He's got 6 stolen bases or whatever it is, batting .330. I mean, Mike Trout is the man.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about it, Rich. We drafted him in DL5, and our offense sucks. It is absolutely abhorrent right now. We've got 12 of our 13 slots are all underachieving, and we have Mike Trout, and we're still mid-pack. So it is amazing how much he contributes.
Yeah, it is amazing. And again, if you don't own him, you kind of just look past them, and you look at all the other hot players coming up, and you realize he's going to be a top 3 fantasy player every year, and he's been that way for the last 5 years, and it's just remarkable. But after Trout, Mookie Betts was number 2, believe it or not, in the NFBC. Clayton Kershaw, followed by Jose Altuve, Chris Bryant, Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Trey Turner at number 10, Josh Donaldson at 11, Max Scherzer at 12, Anthony Rizzo at 13, Madison Bumgarner at 14, and Carlos Correa at number 15. Timmy, pretty good still selection of first-round picks. They're all doing quite well. Anybody jump out at you?
Well, obviously the Bumgarner injury is a big one, but when I look at the bulk of that first round, Correa's off to a slow start, but he's picked it up in the past week. We'll know that he'll be there come end of the year. So the big one for me that would have to be a disappointment would be Bumgarner, and that's an injury situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny, when I first did the list of underperformers, Carlos Correa and Manny Machado were both on that list at the beginning of the week, and they both have had a really, really good week, and it's amazing, a couple 4-for-5s, and all of a sudden your batting average jumps 40 points and you're doing okay. But those guys got off to a slow start. Obviously Trey Turner did as well because of injuries. Josh Donaldson's on the injury, but everybody else pretty much is holding their own.
Yeah, are you feeding the seagulls there, Rich, or what's the scoop?
Oh, I am outside at the place in Charlotte, Timmy, so you might hear a little wind, and I think the birds are going to sleep. So you can actually hear the birds, huh?
Well, yeah, no, they're just chirping like crazy, Rich.
Yeah, it's dusk here, Tim, so that's what it is. I was hoping that Mike wouldn't pick that up, but yeah, that's what we got. So I didn't want to deal with beans. So I'll just be frank with you.
Well, you know, Rich, it just goes to show that on a Friday night, we're not the only two that are squawking, right?
Exactly. But again, going back to those first round, I mean, I think at number 9, Bryce Harper feels a little low, but I think in general, all of those guys are performing well.
Yeah, the key this year is health. And as we've seen today, somebody on the Facebook page, I think it's Bob Del Favre, said, you know, we call this Black Friday. The injuries are just unbelievable. I couldn't even keep track of all of them today, Rich. It was that bizarre.
Yeah, I've been pretty much out of loop today and yesterday, and I looked at my teams and saw where Travis d'Arnaud was out and a couple of other guys that hit the DL, like, what? And Tim, it's not only they're getting injured, but this 10-day DL, I know we've talked about it at nauseam, but it's brutal. It's brutal. And it's funny, there's guys that are hurt at the beginning of the week, and you don't even take them out of a weekly lineup because the middle of the following week, they're back in.
Well, yeah, I took a quick look, okay, at our preseason starting pitching rankings, Rich. And of the top 20, 7 are on the DL right now. 35%
wow.
of our top 20 are on the DL. And that doesn't even include, you know, players like James Paxton, Ian Kennedy went on, Wei-Yin Chen went on today, and the list just goes on and on and on. It's scary. It really is.
It is indeed. And, you know, again, I know I'm repeating myself. You know, I'm going to all of our dynasty leagues are going to 5 DL slots next year. And then I think I'm going to have each DL each dynasty league basically vote whether they want to go unlimited or not, because, you know, I think that's legitimate. But if you're playing in free ESPN leagues or free Yahoo leagues, and I remember when I used to play in those, I remember distinctly there was one DL slot and three and ESPN and three bench slots. I mean, you can't play in a league like that anymore. It's insane. You're having to drop guys like Madison Bumgarner.
Well, yeah, you have no choice if you want to keep an active lineup, unless you've been incredibly lucky. Yeah, you're dropping players that normally you would have on your bench simply because you don't have the space, and that's wrong. I also took an observation I made, and I think it's something that as fantasy players we should really consider. I took a look at one of our DL leagues, Rich. I believe it was DL5, but anyhow,
okay.
One of our leagues. And right now, do you realize that the midpoint on ERA is a 4? There's 5 teams with an ERA between 3.50 and 4. What's happening is as we lose these quality pitchers, we're filling in the gaps. And if we're still working on the assumption of the numbers being what they accrued to last year, we better make an adjustment very quickly to how we look at ERA and WHIP, because those numbers are coming up, and they're coming up in a huge way.
Yeah, I think it's probably DL2, actually, because I am looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The seventh worst one is a 3.96 ERA, Timmy. So the midpoint is at 3.96, so you're absolutely right there. And the best one is 3.25, 3.28, 3.47. These are 15-team leagues. I had not considered that, but you're absolutely right, because you're losing the quality starters and you're replacing Madison Bumgarner with Joe Musgrove.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the numbers that we saw last year, that's last year. Get them out of your mind, because it's a whole different game. And one, just because one is posting an ERA of 4 doesn't mean that that's a horrible ERA. It is compared to what happened last year. But this is a brand new year, and it's going to require some very, very careful maneuvering to make it through and be successful. But it's just very, very shocking to see how much has changed in such a short period of time.
Well, so, Timmy, we lost Noah Syndergaard. We don't know how long. I've heard 3 months, and then he went to get a second opinion, which is so like the Mets. We don't like that answer. Let's go somewhere else. They'll tell us something better. Apparently he got told something better. But he's going to be out for a long time. I think it's at least the All-Star break, which, quite frankly, isn't that far away. It's 2 months away. And so it's going to be after the All-Star break before he comes back. We lost Cole Hamels today. Yesterday. That was another guy. I saw a big DL number letter sitting next to his name. I'm like, what happened to Cole Hamels? And he hurt himself in warm-up. I mean, good Lord, with an oblique strain. But, Timmy, give us a couple of pitchers that you're recommending picking up.
A couple that I'm recommending. Well, I tossed some names your way, but
Trevor Cahill was one of my deep sleepers this year, if you remember. And that's a guy that you're recommending. He's done okay.
Well, yeah, and right now with the attrition we're facing in starting pitchers, Trevor Cahill could be a number 3 on your rotation. How about Jose Berrios, if you want to go with a young pitcher? Gibson was demoted today. He's really sucked it up. I think Berrios is going to get an opportunity soon. I wasn't real big on Ty Block in San Francisco, but he had a solid first start. And somewhere with Felix out and Paxton hitting the DL, somebody has to get a call up in Seattle. And I know Chris Heston really sucked it up in his one appearance, but he's pitched pretty good at AAA, and Rob Whalen's another arm in Seattle they might look to. Those are the only two arms that are on the 40-man going all the way down to AA. So there's a few names to get started, but I'm going to have a whole bunch more before Sunday's waiver wire, Rich.
So, Timmy, again, the last 2 days, I drove 10 hours. I don't know how you do that going to Arizona every year. It was 9.5 hours from my house in New Jersey down to Charlotte, and I was exhausted. We went out to dinner last night, and then I was done like dinner. I think I went to bed at like 10 o'clock. I didn't watch a baseball game. I didn't check a box score. And today I was totally busy. When did James Paxton go on the DL? What happened there? I didn't even know that.
Forearm strain. He went today, and Ian Kennedy is another one that went today.
Well,
and Sean Kelly went. And Sean Kelly, there's another name for you, right?
That I know. I got him. We're going to talk about him. I was able to pick that up very, very late here. But James Paxton, that's a shame. Such a good season so far. In fact, really starting to live up to his potential. I'm really sorry to hear that. Not so sorry to hear about Ian Kennedy, because we still got our Adam Wainwright and Ian Kennedy. And Adam Wainwright's terrible, Tim. Terrible. I need some DL time with Ian Kennedy to have any chance of catching up here.
Well, yeah, I was looking at my NFBC team that our team that Ian and myself put together, and right now, in the past 2 days, in the past week actually, we now have 5 pitchers on the DL with 7 bench slots. Ouch.
Yeah, that's tough. I think the NFBC is going to have to kind of change their rules around a little bit as well. It's another very tough, but I think Trevor Cahill is worth a call here. I mean, we've been talking about Jose Berrios forever. Tim, I don't know if it's Berrios or Berrios. I've heard it called different ways by different people. But whatever.
Yeah.
He's a small pitcher, Timmy. It's a small pitcher has always pitched well in AAA, but has never been able to translate that to the major leagues. And I do worry about that.
I worry about it as well, but you know, when some of the other options are Tim Adelman and Kyle Freeland, I don't worry as much, Rich.
Kyle Freeland's played okay, though. I mean, he's pitched well.
Yeah, he's no Senzatella, but he's doing okay, yeah. That's okay.
Let's go on the offensive side. Timmy, when I do watch MLB Network, and I watch it a lot, you know, just to get caught up, and whenever Aaron Judge is up at the plate, I mean, they cut in. Probably the most exciting young player that's come out in a while, last couple of years, and people want to know what he's doing. And it's not just how well he's playing, a .330 batting average and 13 home runs. It's the distance by which he's hitting home runs. He's much watched TV. I thought he would be good. I always thought everybody's kind of swats at the ball because he's so tall. That's the only way he's able to keep his arms short to the ball. Plus his arms are a little bit short. So I never thought he would be this good. So my question to you, is he this good?
Well, you know, when you look at the Yankees, he is probably the best hitter, pure hitter, they've had since Kevin Moss.
From Kevin Moss?
I just had to throw that one in there. You know what? Hey, Judge is off to an amazing start, okay? But before I proclaim him the best home run hitter in baseball, I want to see a little bit more. The home run he hit yesterday, Rich, it was grooved. It was right downtown, right in the heart of the plate, okay? Start throwing this guy some off-speed stuff. Throw him some balls inside on the hands. Mix it up a little bit. The kid's going to kill fastballs. The next 30 days will determine how good Aaron Judge is going to be. And until I see how he reacts to breaking balls, which he should get, he should never see a fastball. I'm not sold yet. I like what he's done. I like the potential. But there's an adjustment period coming, and I think a lot of people are forgetting about that.
26% strikeout, a little high, but he's going to strike out. 14% walk
right.
rate, you like that? The BABIT is .333, totally reasonable, with a .330 batting average. A slugging, .818, Tim. That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, it is totally insane. Expect those numbers to drop in the next 30 days. And you know what? If they don't drop, I'll fillet up some crow, have it for supper, and have no problem saying I was WRONG.
So, all right, you own Aaron Judge, or I don't know, own it or you don't. Would you rather have Aaron Judge or Miguel Sano rest of the season?
Sano.
Wow. But Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton.
Stanton.
Wow. Judge or Edwin Encarnacion?
I'm going to go with Judge.
I got something out of Tim.
I think E5 is struggling a little bit, and he's a little bit older. maybe he's lost a tick off the old bat speed, and that could be affecting him. I'll go with Judge there.
I'm just going down here on some outfielders, Tim. Let me filter by outfielders and see if we can get some other interesting names. I thought you would go Judge over Sano, but Sano and Judge, that's a tough call right there. How about Mark Trumbo and Aaron Judge?
In a redraft, I'm going to go Trumbo.
Yeah, all of these are redraft.
Okay, Trumbo.
Really, Trumbo's – he almost made my list of really bad players. This has not been a good – he has not gotten off to a strong start, Tim.
No, he hasn't, but I think come into the year, he's going to have 40-plus homers.
Here's a guy that's going to come up in my players who suck out of the season. Kyle Schwarber or Aaron Judge?
I'll go with Judge.
I think I'll go with Judge as well there. One more name and another guy makes my suck list. I'll say Jose Bautista or Aaron Judge.
Judge, hands down.
No hesitation. I love it when I tweet back at people. I love saying no hesitation. It's like that is so impactful to say that.
Yeah, I like doing that every once in a while too. Just when I'm convinced I'm right, only to be proven I'm wrong, right?
So Sean Kelly hits the DL. Coda Glover's about to come back from the DL. Tryon's no good. Any Romero gets the save yesterday, Timmy. I've now read a report, I think it was somewhere, that the Washington Nationals listened to our show last week, and now they're interested in Kevin Herrera. So map this out to me. Try to help me. First of all, do you go pick up Coda Glover? Do you go pick up any Romero? Do you just stay away from the situation? They got a good team. They're going to be, you know, closing games for sure. Do you go out and get Joaquin Soria and thinking that Kelvin Herrera is going to get – what the hell do you do, Tim?
Well, if you own Kelly, you might as well put in a moderate-type bid on Glover, okay? Because there's no guarantees anything is going to shake down as far as a trade right away. We know the Washington Nationals history. They got to do something, one would think, but internal has been their way. The guy that I'd be targeting big time this week is Soria in Kansas City.
I agree with you. He hasn't been very good. Well, he was actually really good. Then he had that terrible blow-up game where he gave up like 6 runs in a 2/3 of
yeah.
an inning or something like that. So, but otherwise, he was money up until that point.
Well, yeah, and you look at Kansas City's bullpen, and what other options do you have? What is there, Almonte maybe? Strom maybe? But he pitches the wrong way and hasn't pitched well. There's not a whole lot of options in Kansas City other than Soria. So I think he's the guy that I would be chasing. Simply, the ownership levels are low, and I think you can get him for a reasonable price if you move now.
Yeah, I'm going to take a big bow, Timmy, just to be self-centered here. I'm going to take a big bow if the Washington Nationals acquire Kelvin Herrera and Lorenzo Cain. Just to say, I'm going to be gloating that week, just so you know.
Well, and you know what, Rich? That's more than fair enough because you called that one right to a T. Right now, I am gloating ear to ear about Cody Bellinger, and I'm going to continue to for probably the rest of the weekend.
That's a great point. And, Tim, hands down, good call for you. I did not catch the nuance that maybe Adrian Gonzalez was hurt and goes to the DL, and Cody Bellinger lives at least another 10 days.
Exactly, and we can see what the kid can do up against Southpaws and make our judgment. No, he's got 10 days to prove his worth, and then the Dodgers are going to have to make a decision when it comes to tolls and Yasiel Puig.
I know. Look, here's the problem. I mean, Cody Bellinger is not going to, he's not going to hit – I mean, if you look at Eric Thames, has actually cooled off, and now he's batting .310 or something like that. He hasn't had a good 2 weeks. Anybody can have it's ups and downs. I mean, anybody can have those ups and downs as a Major League Baseball player. But if you watch Bellinger swing and his ability to track the ball and his ability to understand the strike zone and what he's done in the minor leagues, this kid's ready, and I think ultimately that's what the Dodgers will do. They'll keep him because they know he's good. I think irregardless, unless he goes in for an 0-for-20 slide, regardless of what he does the next 10 days, I think he's up.
Well, yeah, and you can't blame Thames for slumping a little bit. You know, I'm surprised he didn't hit the DL with a forearm injury from all the blood they were sucking out of his arm.
Absolutely. But great call with Cody Bellinger, Timmy, and really, really good call, because that's why people should listen to the show. I mean, you know, bringing those little nuggets. And one thing I did not catch, Timmy, I know you gave me a bunch of names, or these are bad names. So we got, I'm looking for three hitters, man. And it's slim pickings. Marwin Gonzalez is a great name. 9 home runs, 21 RBIs. You just say, huh? But Tim, he's been good.
Well, yeah. You know, if he keeps this up, at some point in time, I might forget that he was the dude that screwed Yu Darvish out of his no-hitter.
That's what he's most famous. You won't. That's what he's most famous for. Delino DeShields is on here, and I mean, poor Jurickson Profar. Tim got demoted again. The guy was. I saw him in the minor leagues a ton. I thought this was going to be a superstar, and he can't stay up.
No, and you know. You know, apparently in his first game down at Triple A, he absolutely raked. At some point in time, the Rangers have to make a decision. And based on losing Cole Hamels, I would think the time is drawing at hand. If they're going to contend and they're off to a slow start, they need Beltre back and they need another starting pitcher real bad. Here's another name for you that, you know, been absolutely on fire the past week and a half, and that's Brett Gardner, and he's only owned to 40% in CBS.
That's a great name, Timmy. I think the game-winning home run, and you think Aroldis Chapman kind of smirked a little bit when Wade Davis couldn't do it, and he was out there closing after Hector Rondon gave up the GOAT. I mean, he had to be smiling.
If he wasn't smiling on the outside, you can be rest assured he was on the inside, for sure, Rich.
Those are good names, Timmy. We'll try to get something out, everybody, over the weekend with our waiver wire. I'll make a commitment to getting that done. Timmy, take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk about some guys who really have sucked.
And there's a few.
When I created this list, I tried to pick guys that you got early in draft. And I didn't want to pick a guy at the end of the draft that probably was you're going to drop anyway. And Timmy, we talked about the first rounders tonight. And one name I'm glad we didn't spend too much time on, and that was Mookie Betts. His ADP is number two, Timmy. He was the second, you know, if you add it all up in the NFBC, he was number two. So you expect him
That's correct.
At least return first or second round value. Otherwise, it's a disaster. Well, he's now got an ADP, according to CBS, the 180th best fantasy player. 107 plate appearances, 2 home runs, 4 stolen bases, a .281 average. He's got a .287 BABIP, so you think that's going to improve. But get this, Timmy, 6.5 strikeouts per 9 and a 9.3 walk per 9. It just seems like he's gotten off to a slow start.
Yeah, I don't have any concerns about Mookie Betts being at the top of the pile come the season's end. You know, the BABIP's a little on the low side. He's off to a slow start, but he's not the only one in Boston that's off to a slow start. Offensively, that team has been struggling a bit, and I'm sure he'll turn it around. That's a definite buy low for me, if anybody will sell him to you.
That's true. I mean, but I think I'd be trying to Aaron Judge for Mookie Betts.
Well, you know, hey, if you can find somebody to make her work, go for it. But I know if I own Mookie Betts and you floated that one my way, I would suggest that you're on stronger meds than I am.
I bet you last week or week before last, if you went to a Mookie Betts owner and said, how about my Eric Thames for Mookie Betts? Maybe I'll throw in something, a little something else. I bet you could have got him.
I would hope not in the leagues I play in, but yeah, you're probably right. Somebody bite on that one.
Timmy, let's go out of order.
The flavor of the day, the hot hand.
That's what a lot of people do. Timmy, let's go out of order. Let's stick with the Boston theme. Dustin Pedroia, remember, MVP to his name, taken 141st player. Now he's the 539th player, 102 plate appearances, one home run, 280 batting average, a 396 BABIP, which isn't good. Still got great strikeout to walk ratio. His ISO is 045. The power is just gone from the little man.
Yeah, I looked at Pedroia, and, you know, he had a great year last year. But if you look at the past 3-4 years, his skills have been slipping, and I would like to think that last year was the outlier. And if you paid for last year, well, you're paying for it this year.
People paid for it, Timmy, because he went in the 8th or 9th round, so that's where he went. Jackie Bradley Jr., again, a little banged up, but 145th player off the board, 579 best player in fantasy, 60 plate appearances, one home runs, had a 189 batting average, a 235 BABIP, 23 strikeouts, 10 walks. Tim, this was a guy that hit 25 home runs last year.
Yeah, I'll take him as a throw-in on that Thames deal, Rich.
So what do you think of Jackie Brown? I never did see that level of power. I thought he could hit 15 to 20 home runs. I never saw 25 home runs. I never would have dropped him in the top 10 rounds.
No, I envision 15 to 20 home runs, 60 to 70 RBIs, maybe 10 stolen bases, 260, 270 batting average. But his glove would keep him in the lineup, and he would play every day, that being a big strength. So I saw him as a number three outfielder, maybe 3-4, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, well, he went higher than that, Timmy. And buy low for you, or you think he's going to be that kind of player?
It's a buy low for me if I can get the right package on Bradley. It's interesting because I don't own Pedroia in any leagues, Bradley in any leagues, or Betts in any leagues. I'm void of Boston players this year, Rich.
I own just Mookie Betts in one league. I don't own any other. I own Benintendi. I own Benintendi in several leagues. I'm very happy with that, Tim.
Yeah, I think Benintendi is going to be a good, solid player. I don't know about the power, at least right away. But my biggest concern with Benintendi, from what I've seen early on, is the defense. I don't know. I've seen him throw a couple, and I wasn't real impressed. Maybe you know obviously a little bit more about Benintendi, having watched him in the minors. How is his D? Because so far, like I said, I haven't been impressed.
He doesn't have a very good arm, but he tracks the ball well out in the outfield. He's a natural center fielder, and I think they got him playing in left, which in Boston, you know, at least his arm won't be exposed too much, but it sounds like based on what you've seen, it's been exposed. He doesn't have a great arm, Timmy.
Okay, well, it's just something to contemplate moving forward. It's not going to keep his bat out of the lineup long term, though.
Yeah, I mean, the power's going to come. And I think if I go back to my write-up at the beginning of the year, I said, if he hits 15 home runs this year, you should, like, thumbs up. I mean, I think eventually, Timmy, this is a 20 to 25 home run guy. He's not a big man, though. This is a guy that's a bat speed guy and a guy who tries to drive the ball. He doesn't try to, you know, loft everything up and uppercut everything like, you know, like a Chris Bryant, who's, you know, the kind of the ultimate uppercutter kind of swing. But yeah, Benintendi's just going to drive the ball, and the fact that he's very skilled and he's got great bat speed, he'll hit 20 home runs a season. But I don't think it's going to be this year.
No, I think it's going to require a little bit of patience. I agree, Rich. And you know, you look at the guy. I can still remember last year looking at some of the early shots of him, and my first thought was like, get the kid a cap that fits. He's not a big boy at all.
Yeah. Eddie Encarnacion, Tim, you mentioned him, 25, his ADP was 25, is sitting at 300, best player in fantasy. Four home runs, you like that, a 198 batting average. But here's the bad thing, a 278 batting average of balls in play. So in a 33% strikeout rate, you like the walk rate of 15%. He's got a career strikeout rate of 16%, Timmy. He's doubled that this year.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to follow E5 that much, but I'm going to make it a point to watch his next couple games because I want to see how he's handling fastballs. And based on the 33% strikeout rate, leads me to believe not very well.
No, Timmy, it's bad. And new team, a lot of expected on them. Moves out of the Homer Dome. You know, I know it's been cold in Cleveland. They start at 6:30 in the, you know, in April. So, I mean, I get all of that. So hopefully he warms up a little bit. But that batting average really worries me. And that strikeout rate is just not good.
No, totally agreed.
Trevor Story, Timmy, my favorite. Here comes a bunch of people partying. They're all looking at me like, why are you talking baseball? I'm not going out to the bars. See, this place that we're in, Timmy, it's all in the middle of a bunch of millennials. So I'm the old man here.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I know you're considerably younger than me, but I'm assuming that bar stage of your life passed maybe 30-some-odd years ago. Does that sound about right?
Very much so. Lori and I went to the Dilworth Tasting Room yesterday. It's a really cool, like tapas and wine bar and stuff like that. It literally, I mean, it's like a minute and a half walk from where I am. And we were the oldest person in there, Timmy, people in there by 20 years. Everybody looked like my daughter. And I'm like, oh my God, like, why are we in here? It was great though.
Well, yeah, exactly. When I go to a wine bar, it's to complain about my fantasy baseball team. How's that?
Exactly. Speaking of complaining, Timmy, I am not a Trevor Story apologist at all. I thought he was overdrafted this year big time at 30, so he was taken in the second, third round, however you want to take a look at that. He's 173rd best fantasy player, which isn't horrible, but what is horrible is a 170 batting average, a 217 BABIP, so you know it's going to adjust, but 39% strikeout rate. Timmy, that's not good. I mean, I know his hard hit rate's still pretty high. He's going to hit 25 home runs probably, but he's going to bat 220, I can't believe people draft him in the second or third round.
No, I saw that 39% K rate, and I thought, well, good for you, Trevor. You're off to a good start.
Right. It's just not good, and it's it can be adjusted. He needs to stop trying to yoke everything out, which is what he's trying to do, and I think if he just tries to make contact, instead of hitting 25 home runs, hits 20 or 18, and you know lets his deep keep him in the lineup and bats 260, he'll be a better baseball player.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, right now it's sort of getting lost because of the fact that the Rockies are off to such a great start. And that great start definitely buys him some time to make corrections before it begins to become something that is very detrimental to what the Rockies are doing. So he's got some time, and you know what? At some point in time, Story's probably going to sit back and reel off 10 home runs in a 10-day span. But you're not going to get much more than a 200 batting average out of the guy.
Yeah, if you're points league, by all means, go grab him. Go try to – I mean, you probably can't because he's probably a very, very good player. But if you're in a rotisserie league or a head-to-head league where batting average is a category and counts, if you want the 25 home runs, just be prepared for the 200, 220 batting average that's going to come. The only good news is they've dropped him in the lineup so he doesn't have as many plate appearances. That's the only good news. Jonathan Lucroy, Timmy, buy low or get the hell out because 77 plate appearances, 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, a 222 batting average. It's great, 6% strikeout rate, a 5% walk. It feels like a buy low candidate, but I've seen him play. He looks lost out there.
Well, yeah, I am really concerned because I thought LaCroix was going to, if nothing else, build on what he did last year. And he's not even building on what he did in his rookie year. He's really slumping bad. And, hey, Texas is looking at their backup option and giving him a fair bit of playing time. And right now he's got more home runs than LaCroix does. I'm concerned, but I bought him. I paid for him. I'm going to live and die with him, and I just hope at some point in time he heats up and we see a correction.
Would you trade for him?
If the offer was right, yeah, I would.
Aaron Judge or Jonathan LaCroix?
Okay. okay. Who's next?
Okay. Gregory Polanco, Timmy. Stolen bases are great. 6. He has no home runs, Tim. No home runs. What the heck has happened to Gregory Polanco in the home run swing? I always thought the stolen bases would be dropping, which I thought they should have been dropping by now. They did last year. The power would cross. What happened to the power?
All I can say is have some patience. It'll be there.
Okay. Buy low?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. Just for the stolen bases, I'll buy them low, and the batting average will correct itself.
Yeah, 221 batting average. Carlos Gonzalez, Timmy, not playing well. Again, it's being lost in what's happening in Colorado. 64th player taken off the board in the NFC, you know, in preseason. 473 best player in fantasy. Two home runs, a 200 batting average, a 237 BABIP, so that batting average will correct some. 21% walk, a strikeout rate, a 9% walk rate, kind of in line with what he's done in his career, but the power just isn't there. Off to a slow start.
Yeah, he's off to a slow start. And on top of that, I believe he's sitting out tonight with a calf injury. Maybe it's something that's been there for a while and is affecting his play. I have to believe that Cargo turns it around at some point in time. There's too much of a history there, unless he's dealing with an injury, for him not to.
Buy low then?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that 200 batting average corrects to, you know, 260, which isn't traditional Cargo, but everything else is in line, the strikeout rate, the walk rate. You know, unless he's hurt, I think those two home runs will turn into 20 in a hurry. Here's a guy that we don't talk about enough, Timmy. It's somebody who hits at the top of the lineup of the world champion Chicago Cubs, and that's Kyle Schwarber. Everybody loves Kyle Schwarber. Came back and did monumental feats in the playoffs and the World Series. And, you know, everybody went all gaga about him. And they took him in the fifth, sixth round. And he's got four home runs, you like. But he's batting 189. He strikes out 31% of the time. I don't know. And he's got a career strikeout rate of 29%. Why is he batting at the top of the lineup? I mean, I know he walks 12% of the time, but who cares?
Because Joe Maddon is proving to the world that he knows what he's doing when he sets his lineup. How's that?
Yeah, let me take a look at what his on-base percentage is real quick. His on-base percentage is .312.
That's barely adequate for a leadoff bat, I would say.
I mean, yeah. I know he'll say, well, look, his BABIP's at .254, so he's going to correct to a .240 batting average, and that's going to give me a .360 on-base. I get the math, but we make fun of Trevor Story and give him a bad time. Who would you rather own, Trevor Story or Kyle Schwarber?
Kyle Schwarber, hands down.
Wow. Well, I was hoping to get something out of you, but I didn't sell that very well, did I?
Nah, but I think the other thing with Schwarber is that, you know, yeah, he had a great playoff run, I think the potential is immense, but he didn't play a whole lot last year, did he?
He was injured in the first game of the year, Tim. He played like...
Yeah, exactly. So how much development time has he lost? Can we talk about Byron Buxton, okay, and moving his game to the bigs without the advantage of having all of that developmental time? I think Schwarber's in the same boat, and I think he's struggling, and I think he's going to right the ship. I think the bat's too good not to, but, you know, he's still developing his game. He's a young player, and there are going to be times when he looks like a young player, and that's right now.
Yeah, I'm a little worried, Timmy. That career strikeout is 29%, and again, that goes across his minor leagues as well. This is a guy who does swing and miss a lot. I mean, love the on-base percentage. He will walk. I get all of that, and he's going to hit home runs. But if you play in a traditional league where batting average counts, that all adds up to a .240 or .250 batting average with a ton of at-bats because he's hitting at the top of the lineup. You might get screwed with Kyle Schwarber on your team in a rotisserie league. I'm just saying, Tim.
Well, you might, because at some point in time, the D is going to come into play as well. I really think Kyle Schwarber at some point in time belongs in the American League as a DH, and eventually that's where we'll see him.
Alex Bregman, Timmy, I drafted him on an NFBC team, but that team is terrible. I just didn't do very well with my draft, and my guys are hurt, and they're not underperforming. It's just bad. But I thought he would be better than this. In 115 plate appearances, he's yet to hit a home run. Yeah, I got two stolen bases. I got a .265 batting average. Here's the bad thing. It's a .325 BABIP. So, I mean, 16% strikeout rate, a 10% walk rate. He's got an 0.51 ISO. This guy's showing no power at all. Timmy, talk me off the ledge.
Yeah, look back to last year. He got off to a slow start last year. He got off to a no start last year. Bregman's got skills. He's got the chops. he's going to be a very, very good player. I believe he's going to be a star. He's off to a slow start. So be it. The ship will turn around, and if you own Alex Bregman, don't panic. A little patience, and you'll be very, very happily rewarded come year's end.
I hope so, Timmy, because it's you know, I was expecting more power, and he's now batting at the bottom of the lineup, and you know, it's not good. It's not good. It's not been a good first 5 weeks for Alex Bregman owners that took him in the fifth round, which is where I did, and I overdrafted him. I should have taken Kyle Seager.
Yeah, I was going to say, heading into this year, I think a lot of people overdrafted Bregman in redraft leagues. Keeper leagues, that's a whole different kettle of fish. But in redraft leagues, there's a whole bunch of boring third base types, and, you know, I know we talked about it at least, you know, I did numerous times, and you as well. The value in looking at a Mike Moustakas or a Castellanos a little bit further down, and so far that seems to be working out pretty good.
When I had Manny Machado and Carlos Correa on this list, which they were doing terrible again at the beginning of the week, but with the last three games, just, you know, really good games, I took them off because they look much better. But it was remarkable when I took a look at this list and look at what's going on. A lot of the guys, Timmy, who got off the slow starts played in the World Baseball Classic. Gregory Polanco, Alex Bregman, Jose Bautista, Correa. You know, there's a lot of guys who got off to very – and some of them got injured.
Well, yeah, I know as a Didi Gregorius owner, I really wasn't happy about that shoulder.
Yeah, so – just saying, Timmy. I mean, I haven't done a study to prove it one way or the other, but at least anecdotally speaking, it looks like a lot of those guys got off to slow starts. I don't know if because, you know, the intensity of that event and they had a letdown when they went back to spring training, couldn't get back into it. I don't know what the emotional side of it was, but a lot of those guys got off to slow starts.
Well, yeah, the only plus is, like you were saying, you know, you had Machado on this list a week ago. He's no longer on that list. All it takes is four or five good games, and all of a sudden, you know, Alex Bregman, if he hits three home runs this weekend, he no longer qualifies, right? And we're that early in the season that a little bit of patience can be rewarded in a hurry. Like Marwin Gonzalez has got nine home runs. I'm shaking my head here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know it's not going to last, but there are players out there that have seriously underperformed 2-3 games and that disappears.
We've been talking for the last 2 weeks about guys overperforming. That's why I wanted to give a list. And there's a couple we've said, nah, but these are guys that are named guys that people panic in leagues. Timmy, you and I have panicked within our teams before. Right. And we've done stupid. You kick yourself after you hit the accept button, you make the offer. You sometimes can go out and get a Kyle Schwarber, an Alex Bregman, you know, a Gregory Polanco, because fantasy owners get disappointed and they feel like they're dying and they need somebody.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't take very much at this stage of the season to see your team that's in 10th, 11th spot go from 10th, 11th to 3rd. You can do that in a week at this stage of the game. And, you know, a little bit of patience in a lot of cases definitely ends up being rewarding at the end of the day. And, you know, I use the end of May basically as my – once I get to the end of May, I've seen enough. There's been enough at-bats, enough time in, and I don't do any serious panicking until I've seen 8 weeks of baseball.
Sage advice. Timmy, the last name I want to throw out here is a guy that I said was the leading candidate for NL Rookie of the Year, and he has been absolutely brutal. He was drafted as 189th player off the board, so let's call that the 12th, 13th round. He has 107 plate appearances, two home runs, one stolen base, not so bad. He's batting 156. He has a 186 BABIP, 23 strikeouts, 9 walks. He has the exact same strikeout to walk rate as he did last year. And what's funny, and what I want to close on this segment, same number of pretty much plate appearances he had last year. The difference, he had a 383 BABIP, which basically translated into a 302 batting average. The player is Dansby Swanson, Tim. And it just shows you when balls dunk in a small sample size, just as you've been saying, you can go from a guy who has the same skill set of the strikeout to walk ratio 1 year from the next, a few more balls go in, you're batting 300 versus 189 or 186.
Well, yeah, it's the, you know, Dansby Swanson is off to a very, very poor start. He's better than that. That will come around. And if you get tired of Swanson in DL5, Rich, give me a call, okay?
Yeah, I mean, so Swanson's not a 300 hitter. He's not today, and he's not a 186 hitter. He's probably a 270 hitter that's going to give you 10 to 15 home runs and 10, maybe 12 to 17 stolen bases. That's what Dansby Swanson is, and play pretty good defense.
Yeah, basically Joe Panic with a little bit more power, a little bit more speed, and he's going to play every day. He's not a bad baseball player, but right now he's off to a slow start. Don't give up on Dansby Swanson because of the start.
Agreed. I'd be panicking a little bit in a redraft league if I have him. He would be sitting on my bench, and if I was in a shallow league, he'd be way off my team. I don't have the time, Timmy, to worry about Dansby Swanson coming, because he's not going to be a, top 10 kind of shortstop at the end of the year. Even if he plays all out the next 5 months, he doesn't have that skill set.
Well, no, in a redraft league, you can look at guys like, say, Andrelton Simmons. You can, you can look at the hot hand. You can always find yourself, as a rule, a middle infielder somewhere who's not going to hurt you all that much. And, in a redraft league, sure. But in dynasty-type formats, nah. Hold tight. You'll live to see better days with Dansby Swanson, guaranteed.
Timmy, that is a wrap. A nice little short show, 51 minutes, and we are done. Do you have anything you want to share with our listeners before we say sayonara? Sayonara.
If we would have started 20 minutes later, we wouldn't have heard all the birds tweeting. They've gone silent, Rich.
They've gone. So, Timmy, it is dark now, and the birds are gone.
Yes, and 100 miles north of nowhere, it's still daylight here.
Wow, it's amazing. Yeah, it's not here. It's definitely dark. So, well, Timmy, so hopefully, again, we'll have some waiver wire pickups here in the next, before Monday, and we'll get them out. You've given me some names. I will write them up. And if you have a few more names, pass them my way, and we'll get that out. And we'll be back a week from Sunday, Tim.
Yeah, we might have to do a change of date and time next weekend, Rich, because I'm going into Thunder Bay. It's Mother's Day, and we're getting all together with Kathy's mom in Thunder Bay. So it might require some scheduling maneuvering come Sunday, but I'll let you know later in the week. How's
just
that?
Let me know. I'm back in on Friday, so I can do I could do Friday night. I could do Saturday night. I can do Monday night. You just let me know.
Okay, sounds good, Rich. And enjoy your vacation. I hope you have fun searching out your beach house. And even if you don't, bonding with the birds, the relaxing time will be worth it all upon itself in your new homestead. Congratulations.
Thanks, Timmy. Appreciate it. Be well.
Be well.